My dear friends, it is wonderful to be gathered together in God's house again. We get to spend some time in his presence, receive from him forgiveness, and return praise and thanksgiving to him for all that he has given us. Anybody here wearied today? That's called normal, just so you know. There's nothing wrong. That's just kind of how life is. It tears you down. It makes you tired. But it's not just the physical tired, it's also the emotional tired, it's the spiritually tired, it's like, you know, when you go through life and you have to continue to work and till your muscles are sore and you just don't want to go on anymore. Well, God says that our job in this world is that we would do good, that we would return praise to him and thanksgiving to him in everything that we do, and sometimes that gets a little old, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we always have to respond with love and compassion even when people are not nice to us. Easy the first time. By the 150th time, not as nice, right? Okay, so here's the thing. God knows this. He knows that we get weary. He knows that we get weak. And so he gives us exactly what we need. He gives us this gathering, this time that we can gather around him, gather around the Father, gather around his word, receive his body and blood, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, that we get encouraged and built back up, refocused on him, filled up with his grace and his love, so that we can head back out into the world and do it all over again, right? And so this is what we are here for this morning. It's an incredible opportunity to be in the presence of our God and King and be blessed by him. And so as we are gathered here, let us begin our service remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God through that amazing gift of baptism. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, my friends, let us stand up as we begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you have blessed us, that you have brought us to this place by sending your Spirit to work in our hearts through the Word, to give us faith, to reveal to us the forgiveness of sins that we enjoy and the purpose that you have given us in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to us again this morning to shore us up, to strengthen us, and to just to make us, Lord, able, fill us with your work, your word, so that we are able to be your servants in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our sins and receive forgiveness, which is exactly what we need. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven a great debt this morning, and it is only right that we would now take some time and praise this God who has blessed us so much. So let's sing.
My Good morning. I'm Kevin Chigg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when he is called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designed by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, my friends, it is now time for the children's message. So kids, come on down to the front, and Mrs. Armbruster has our children's message for today.
Good morning. I have a question for you. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to check and see. If we were going to line up to go do something, how many of you think that being first in line would be the best place? Would you like to be first in line? Good. I have one honest child. I have two honest. There we go. How many of you guys like to be first in line? Okay, see, that's kind of a thing. So if we went to the movies or to the Fox or to the movie theater, something like that, how many of you would like to be the first one to pick your seat to get the seat that you really want? That would be fun, wouldn't it? Well, James and John, in the Bible reading that Pastor Bob is going to read when you guys go to a little worship, they had a question for Jesus. They said, "Jesus, we have a question for you. We would like a favor." And Jesus said, "Well, what is it?" You know what they wanted? They said, "When we get to heaven, can we sit in the best place? Can we sit on your right and on your left, kind of where you guys are? Because we think those are the best places to be." Now, do you think they loved Jesus, his disciples? Do you think they loved him? Do you think they wanted to be like him? Mm-hmm. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to be like him? Well, Jesus' answer was kind of not what they expected. It was a little bit different. He said, "You kind of got it all wrong. So I have some Hollywood actors and actresses that I brought today that are going to help me with this. Are you ready? This is going to be amazing. They're also called the music team. So I want you guys to turn around and look, and you're going to figure out the best place to be. So first of all, I have Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, kind of like a king, and he's got a lot of power, and he can tell people, you go to jail, you get out of jail, he can do all that. So that's one place that you could think about being. And then I have Corporal Liebman, who's a soldier. And soldiers work for Pontius Pilate, and they have a lot of power, and they have weapons, and they can tell people what to do, so that might be a place you could be. And then I have a crowd. And when you're in a crowd, it's kind of cool, because you all think the same thing, and you're all supporting each other. And so my crowd is going to say, we want Barabbas! We want Barabbas!
We want Barabbas! We want Barabbas!
So that's kind of a cool place to be. And then we have this other person over here. And that would be Mr. Falls for right now. But he's going to be Jesus. And Jesus got a crown too, except for his crown. Can you see those little spiky things? His crown had thorns on it. And he had nobody in his group, and he didn't have any power like the government, and he was going to be nailed to a cross. So he's over there. Now, how many people do you think, if you could choose, which is the best place to be? Do you think people might choose, I want to have power and be in charge? Do you think people might choose that? Yeah, they probably would. Or maybe they would want to be a big, strong soldier or part of a really big group of people all doing the same thing. We like that stuff, don't we? But you guys know this. What's the most important place right now? Can you point to it? Yeah, and what is so different about Jesus right now? Jesus is putting everybody else first. Do you think he wants to have that pain? Does he want people to laugh at him, make fun of him, hurt him? Does that feel good? But he does it anyway, because who does he put first? Everybody else. Is he putting everybody else first?
No. He wants power for himself.
Bad, bad. Bad, bad. Do we do that sometimes? We want to be first. We want to be best. We want to have the most stuff. And Jesus told James and John, and he tells us too, that's kind of backwards. That's not the way that it's supposed to work. So can you give the actors and actresses a hand? They did a really nice job. You throw this stuff in the bag. So let's finish up here, okay? So Jesus put everybody else first. And when he did, he died on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. He rose again to conquer death. And he's in heaven with his Father waiting for us to come be with him. But while he's waiting for us, he gave us power to be like him. He gave us power through the Holy Spirit to put other people first. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. It's hard. But he gave us the...
When you're doing enough.
Yeah.
Need help.
Yes. So, can we pray about that? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you put us first. Help us to do the same to other people. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, Amen. All right. I think it's time for a little worship. There's your cross right there. You guys were amazing. Our actors were amazing.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. A. And my friends, today, the sermon text for today is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Then the 10 heard about this, and they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and with their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The glory of young men is frightening stuff, isn't it? I mean, what does it take for a young male to do something terribly dangerous and silly, except maybe to impress somebody else, right? I mean, the things that I always say, every adult male is something of a miracle that God has helped us to actually make it to adulthood, because we are so prone to doing such dangerous and crazy things. One of the things that I know that I've seen done, and I've been part of this before too, is that when you're like bored at the end of lunch and things are, you know, winding down and you're kind of waiting for everybody else to finish, somebody starts to make some sort of an interesting drink. Anybody ever done that before? You know, a little milk, little lemonade, little ketchup, little mustard. And you know who gets all the glory from such an event? The one who's willing to drink it. Respect, you know, because they're willing to do what it takes to make it happen. You know, the thing is that it seems like we do so much for glory, right? Ambition. We have such ambition. We want to accomplish so much with our lives. We want to do so many things. We want to go so many places. We want to have so many experiences. We just want to accomplish. We want to do something. And James and John were really no different. They had ambition. They wanted to do something significant with their lives. And all of a sudden comes along this rabbi, this teacher, Jesus, who calls them to follow him. And they are gung-ho. They are all in. They want to follow Jesus anywhere he goes. And so they come up to Jesus and they say, "Hey, you know, I know we got 12 disciples here. But what if you made us like the two top disciples?" You know? Think of the king at his table, right? And there's a feast, and we want to be the ones that sit at your right hand and the one that sits at your left hand at the table, the one with all the influence, the one with all the power, the one that can help to whisper in the ear of Jesus and influence the way he rules when he comes into his glory. Makes sense, right? Seems like a worthy ambition. I mean, you can't get it unless you ask, right? So go for it, ask. So what was wrong with this? Well, Jesus turned to them and said, "You guys don't actually know what you are asking for. Are you able to do the things that I have been called to do?" And the disciples, in their naive understanding of what Jesus was all about, said, "Sure, we can do it. We'll do whatever you want us to do." And Jesus said something interesting. He said, "Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink?" you drink this thing that has been put in front of me that is not going to be pleasant. You know, in 1945, January, a young staff sergeant named Audie Murphy was leading a platoon of soldiers, and he was told that he had to clear this gap. This little tiny patch of land didn't seem to be much, but it was somehow strategically important to finishing this the war. So he led his soldiers in. Well, all of a sudden, one of the, they call it a tank destroyer. It's an M10 tank destroyer. It looks like a little tank. It got destroyed. The Germans managed to get a direct hit on it, and the vehicle was burning. But in order to save his troops, Audie Murphy jumped on top of the burning vehicle and used the 50 caliber machine gun on the top of the vehicle to keep the enemy at bay so that his soldiers would be safe. During this time, when he's standing on top of this burning vehicle standing there in the open, he gets shot in both legs. But he doesn't stop returning fire until the machine gun runs out of ammunition, all right? Then he jumps off the vehicle and he leads his troops, even though he's already wounded, he leads his troops in a charge that repels the Germans and takes the gap, which was the mission. Was any part of that fun? But for that, he received he received amazing awards. I mean, he received so many awards, one of them the Medal of Honor. His glory was in his pain, his sacrifice. And the same thing is true with Jesus. If you guys look a little bit later in Mark, to chapter 17, verse 35, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "Abba, Father, you have power over all things. Please let this cup pass from me." And what was the cup? Crucifixion. The suffering and death that Jesus came to do for us. Was he looking forward to it? But how did he finish his prayer? "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus taught us how to lead. He taught us how to be in a place of authority by showing us the ultimate in sacrifice, that he gave everything. And it was important that he gives everything because that is how we are saved. If Jesus had not taken our burden, we deserve death because of the sin that we have committed. And Jesus took the guilt of that sin on himself and paid the full penalty for that sin. If Jesus had not done this, if he had not submitted himself to the will of his Father, if he had not carried out the Father's plan of salvation, we would not be saved. And so Jesus won the battle by giving himself. And this becomes his greatest glory, that he was submissive to the Father and that he did the job that the Father gave him to do. And James and John came up to Jesus and they said, "We would like to be on your right and your left when you come into your glory." Did they have any idea what they were asking for? Who was on Jesus' right and left when he came into his glory? Yeah. Couple of criminals. And Jesus said, "It's not my place to give it. That place has been prepared for another." But he said, "My friends, you are going to drink the cup I drink, and you are going to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." And what does that mean? It means this: you are going to suffer. You are going to sacrifice. You are going to give, and you're going to do it for the benefit of the others that have that need to be saved. You're going to do it for the work of the Father. You're going to do it out of submission to God and the mission that God has given you. And did those disciples struggle? Yeah, they did. James died because of the gospel. John was the only disciple that didn't actually wasn't actually killed for the gospel, but he did spend an awful lot of time in punishment and jail and exile. Thank you very much. Yeah, he spent time in exile. He was definitely persecuted for the gospel, but what was the result of the sacrifice that they made? The sacrifice that they made on behalf of the mission that God gave them is that today untold people have been rescued from sin and death. And the thing is that this work goes on. You know, we're not done yet. Is there still work to do? Is there another generation that needs to be raised in the faith? Are there brothers and sisters in Christ that need to be reminded of this incredible gospel and the sacrifice that is necessary so that more people can be brought to faith, that God's mission can be done because we are determined that it would be done, and that as God gives us tasks to do in this world, that we do them with focus and with unerring discipline and with the desire to make God's glory known. And this is what we do. We as a church, the reason that we are together, the reason that God doesn't just zip us up to heaven the moment we're baptized, is because he has work for us to do on this earth. And he has given every single one of us gifts and abilities and a task, something to do, a way to contribute to this mission that God has in this world, to be a part of God's work. And there's nothing greater than working for God. I mean, if you think about it, could you have a more amazing task? Could you have a more noble thing to do but to work out God's plan, God's work in your lives? But the thing is that so often we get distracted by all the other things that look like glory, right? Power and money and toys and, you know, all the little things of life that are so distracting, that we can sometimes lose sight of why we are here, what we are all about, and that we need to be reminded, we need to be called back to this mission that God has given us. That yes, we will suffer and it will be hard, but it's worth it because we will be doing the thing that God sent us here to do. We might do without so that somebody else can have enough, but that is the mission that God has given us to do. We might have to actually have really awkward and difficult conversations, but that is why God sent us to this place. We might have to stay up and work really, really late at night after a full day's work, that we do more work for God's kingdom, but that is what God has sent us here to do. And that we would not shirk the work, we would not dodge it, we would not step away from it, but we would embrace it and we would grab on with both hands and hold on tight. And are we going to be strong enough to make this happen on our own? Are we even supposed to try? No. Because whenever we're doing God's work, we also have God's help. We have God who is with us, who stands beside us, who holds us up, who gives us strength, who gives us wisdom, who gives us everything that we need to make this happen. Even the things we didn't know we had, or things that we didn't have, but that he gave us in the moment so that we could get the job done. And so that in the end, he is glorified. Our glory is in his glory. Our strength is in submission to him. Our weakness is filled by his strength. And more people are added to his kingdom because of it. My friends, so many Christians have gone before us. You know, 2,000 years of history has passed since Jesus spoke these words. And through that time, the Holy Spirit has worked through people who are called to serve him, called to sacrifice, called to give. And they did. And because they did, we are here today. Because they did, because they were willing to be used by God to do amazing things, we, the people who have inherited their work, we have God's word. We have this church. We have his ministry. We have his mission. And now it's our turn. And think about the importance of that. That 100 years from now, there will be Christians. There will be people who God is working in their lives and through them, that they are going to be reading God's word, that they are going to be teaching and preaching, that they're going to be, again, sacrificing and giving of themselves. And a lot of that will be because of the work that we are willing to do today. That we are willing to give, that we are willing to do without, that we are willing to struggle and suffer even, if that is necessary. So that another generation can know the God who saved us. Let's pray as we head into this Lenten season. Let's pray that God would work powerfully in our lives, that he would give us the wisdom and the sight to see the tasks that he has laid before us and give us the courage to pick those tasks up, to trust in the God who saves us to carry us so that his work can continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we submit ourselves to you and to your will. Lord, you are strong. You have an amazing plan for our lives. Lord, we think we have so many plans and with so many things that are important, but Lord, I pray that we would first submit to you and to your desires for us, that we would pick up the tasks that you have laid before us, that we would be able to carry, Lord, with your strength, the burdens that you have given us, so that we are able, Lord, to pass on this incredible message of salvation, that we are able to speak your word, and that through the Spirit in that word, more people may come to you and to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and wisdom and strength. Lord, let us submit ourselves to you so that in your glory, Lord, we find glory as well. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, it is now time that we would continue our worship. And as we do, I do ask that you would please record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in the pews around you.
Sacrifice of praise.
My friends, let us stand as we confess our faith using the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us to worship you. The opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence because of the perfect lives that we have received from your Son, Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his righteousness, so that we stand before you without blemish, Lord, because of what he has done for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, that you would continue to convict us, Lord, of our sin, that you would continue to guide us, Lord, and work in acts of righteousness, Lord, in response to the great love and forgiveness that we have received from you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to grow in our faith, that we will be prepared, Lord, for the difficult days ahead. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with St. Mark's as we do your work in our community and in the world. Lord, I pray especially for our youth ministry, Lord, as we are sending a mission team both to Arizona and then a group of kids, Lord, to the National Youth Gathering as well this summer. Pray that you would continue to prepare them as they get ready for these trips, that you would prepare their hearts, that you would prepare their Lord, do whatever is necessary to make it so that these trips are beneficial to them in the most important ways, that they would see you, Lord, see what you are doing in this world, and that their faith would grow because of what you have shown them. Lord, I pray that you will continue to be with all of the members of our church, Lord, in all the different situations they find themselves. Lord, there are those who are rejoicing now and those who are struggling and suffering. I pray that you would be with each of them, Lord. You've told us in Scripture that you laugh with us and you cry with us. I know that you do this, Lord, and I know that you truly are with us always in whatever situation we find ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would give strength to those who are struggling and that you would rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with those throughout the world who are struggling and suffering, Lord, especially those who are struggling and suffering for their faith. But Lord, we also pray for those in the Ukraine, Lord, that are involved in this war that is going on right now. I pray that you would protect, that you would continue to guard over, watch over, Lord. Help and give wisdom and conviction, Lord, to those who are in leadership that this might be able to come to an end. Pray that you would be with those beautiful children. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Bless our land.
My dear friends, we have just received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the heavenly banquet that we will one day share with him. And through this gift, we have received the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness we so desperately need. And so as we know that our God's word is true, and as we know his promise is certain, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And now receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise together.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. Seek your kingdom first.
Be seated. A few announcements as we go our way today. First of all, family meeting is Sunday, April 24th, right after church. We're going to be, the mulch fundraiser is up and going, so the youth are raising funds so you can buy your mulch and have the kids deliver it. It'll be great. Let's see here now. Easter flowers are, the order forms are in the back at the connections desk behind the books. So you have to reach for them, but they're back there. And, of course, those are the flowers that we use to decorate our church on Easter Sunday. Let's see here. Easter food baskets. We're going to be, the food, any food that we add to the food that the children raised in the school needs to be in by March 27th. And there's a list of items in the bulletin. Let's see here now. Palm Sunday. There's also a youth fundraiser for the on Palm Sunday. There's pancakes. And we've got this guy that comes in. And you stand there with your plate, and he flips the pancakes to your plate. It's rather impressive. We've seen it done at the school, and it's kind of cool. So the kids love that thing. So that's on April 10th, and you can get your tickets at the door for that. And Sunday school, because of the stuff in the lobby, Sunday school, you can meet and check in by the church office and Rainforest Explorer sign after church over here on this end of the lobby. And then that way the kids can get off to Sunday school. And just so you understand what's going out and on in the lobby right now, it's very congested, very full, and all kinds of books for sale. We have a school, have you noticed? And there's something important about, like, you know, children reading and stuff like that. And we've got almost no large common area spaces. And the only other place that we've been able to do the book fair in the past is in the gym, but this is the middle of basketball season, which kind of leads to a conflict. So on Friday was Grandparents' Day, and so that's why it's all still up, is because we've been all busy. So isn't it a terrible thing that our church is so full of and so much stuff going on all over the place? It's just so sad. I know, it's really a shame. So, but anyway, nevertheless, if you see any books that you want to get your kids or grandkids on the way out, go ahead and do it. There, since the store is still set up, you may as well use it. Nobody's getting rich off that stuff. Just so you know, the only profit that we get from it is that Scholastic gives us a little bit of money that we can spend on classroom materials and gym stuff. So that's basically what we do with it. All right, folks, my friends, then, God's blessings on your week. If anybody would like to have individual prayer after the service today, we have Kevin Shagg, one of our elders, who's standing by the prayer chapel, willing to pray with you. The rest of you, God's blessings on your week.